Good morning to all of you. Very happy to have you today. And to me, this seems like a Sunday morning service, you know what I mean? But this is a special one. This is not even Sunday. This is Thursday. And it's a week. In a couple of two or three hours since Rita has left us and gone to a much better place. I deeply appreciate each and every one of you. You were her friends, she was your friend. We know where she is today. She's with the Lord. And we're going to have a service today in honor of her. We're going to have some testimonies. We're going to have lots of good singing because she enjoyed music and the singing. And I would like to ask all of you at this time, if you would, to let's just stand, and we're going to sing one of her favorite songs. That when I was asked a few minutes ago, what should we sing, when Naomi said that, I said, burdens are lifted at Calvary. When we had requests, that was one she always asked for. What number is that in our hymn? 521 in the hymn book there in front of you. Who wants to come up here and lead singing? Where's Earl? Where's Earl? He's hiding. There he comes. Brother Earl, come up here. Do something useful. All right. 521, you want?
Wow, what a great crowd.
Amen.
Rita would have been thrilled. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. We'll sing the first, second, and third verses. And just lift our voice up as a mighty choir in honor of Rita. Can we do that today? Amen.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Now you know we're here for a celebration today.
Amen.
What we need to do is lift our hearts.
Amen.
And the second verse says, cast your care on Jesus today. You know what? That's what we need to do. Rita's in a better place today, but we are burdened because she is gone. So we need to lift our voices, lift our hearts as we sing that second verse.
Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Sing it now.
Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are Jesus is very near.
Sing it. Can you feel his presence this morning?
Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Amen. As we remain standing for prayer, I'm going to ask my brother James, who is here all the way from Texas today, to lead us in prayer as we bow, please.
Dear Father, we come today just grateful that we have the opportunity to come and worship you and come to say to this loving person here, Rita, that we love you and that we know that you're in home with God today. We appreciate all the people who come just to honor her. Thank you, Lord, for your son who came to earth, Amen. Gave his life that we might have hope of eternal salvation. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that we have for the gift of eternal life. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We're going to have some more singing here. I'm so glad that Earl and Rita have come down to sing for us today. Very dear friends. And Naomi's going to be singing, and I don't know what else is going to happen around here, but we're going to have a good time in the Lord and remembering Rita and the things that she enjoyed while she was here. And I just have a feeling that the Lord's going to let her bend a listening ear down here to this service today. I just believe that. So I'm going to ask, Naomi's got a couple of songs that she's going to sing for us today, and a couple that Rita liked. Now we're going to be doing this for what she liked, and I'm sure you'll like them too. So Naomi, if you will, come and tell us what you're going to sing and whatever.
The song that Rita asked me to sing the most is When He Was on the Cross, I Was on His Mind. So I'll sing that to you for her, for the Lord. How's that? His eyes the crowd that day as he looked ahead in time. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He He loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. So his mind. When he was on the cross, you and I were on his This is Serenaded by Angels. You love to be serenaded by angels? Amen. Never to awake again, but everything was all right between her and him. She awoke in her courtyard, free from pain with. The angels gathered round her and took her by the hand, serenaded by angels, up to the throne. Think about it, serenaded by angels. Finally at home, surrounded by praises to the King. Welcome to paradise, the angels did sing. I close my eyes at night, and I try to imagine that city of brilliant lights waiting for me But my mind cannot conceive, so I'll continue to dream till I'm transported there, and then I will be serenaded by angels up to the throne, serenaded by angels, finally at home, surrounded by praises to the King. Welcome to paradise, the angels will sing, serenaded by angels up to the throne, serenaded by angels, finally at home, surrounded by praises to the King. The angels will sing. Welcome to paradise. The angels will sing.
All of you have your own special memories of Rita. I have about 68 years of them. I would like at this time for some of our family to come up and say some good things about their mother, grandmother, and we even have a great granddaughter here who can say something about her great-grandmother if she wants to. And then I want to hear some testimonies from anybody else here that liked her. If you didn't like her, just keep it to yourself. Because we're going to say something good about her today. She may be listening, you know what I mean. So we've got my brother James. When Rita and I got married, he was just a little guy, and Rita was like his big sister. I want him to come and start it off here while he's up here, and then we'll have our children come and grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, if they would like to do that. Okay, Brother James.
I'd like to thank everyone for coming today to honor Rita at this memorial service. Like R.C. said, I was only 5 years old when Rita entered my life, so she's always been a part of my memories. You know, I have a treasure of fond memories of this lady that I loved. Rita was truly a Christian lady whose love for family was only second to her love for God. You know, I told R.C. earlier that Rita was much like our mother. She was happiest when her children and grandchildren were around. Amen. She enjoyed doing things for her friends and family. You know, if she were here today, she would tell you this. An angel whispered, "Take my hand and come with me. Your work here is done. I went away to a place where there's no tears nor sorrow, only laughter and smiles. There will always be a tomorrow. As I move amongst the clouds, I'll look down and smile upon you while the angels sing a heavenly song. I know you'll grieve and wish I were still there. I am here in the memories you hold dear. Remember how much I love you, and know I took that love with me. I did not wish for you to cry nor feel sad. My pain is gone and I am free. Soon you'll come to me. Until then, God be with you just as He's with me." Thank you.
Out there on the table, we have a picture of Rita with her firstborn child, who wasn't born yet. She's the only kid that got in the picture. Well, I think there's one there of all of us. But anyway, I'm going to ask Sandy to come. And you're not going to get up here. How do you feel about your mother? How do you feel about her? Well, that's pretty good about her. I'm glad you remembered.
68 years, I met her
67. Amen. See there? She's had her just about as long as I have. Oh, that's wonderful. See there, that's a testimony whether you think it is or not. Amen. Yep. That's right. Yeah. Okay, Sandy. And then about 4 years after Sandy was born, God gave us a son. She was born in St. Paul's Hospital in Dallas, and then Robert was a Methodist. He was born in the Methodist hospital there in Dallas. So Robert, come up here and say something nice about your mother.
Wow, it's so nice to see everyone here. In fact, I have a feeling my old daddy is thinking that, my goodness, I wish the church was filled like this.
Amen. Amen.
Really, thank you all for showing up. And if anything, I see a whole lot of people that I know and go way back with. I see a whole lot that I don't know. But the bottom line is that all of us love this dear, wonderful woman with all of our heart. I especially want to thank my two uncles, my Uncle Jim and my Uncle Bill. Like I said, they go way back, especially considering that my Uncle Jim was 5 years old when he met my mother. My Uncle Bill was 15. My daddy wooed my mother. He was in the Navy. I guess she went for his uniform. She was a city, Philadelphia woman. And they got married, and probably luckily they didn't wait until they got to Texas, because the way I see it, they got on a train instantly and went to Texas, where she ended up out on a farm and for the first time in her life learned that you go to the bathroom out in what's called an outhouse. My mother was welcome to the real world. What I remember though is that being that my mother grew up, she developed a Texas accent. I kid you not, she developed a Texas accent, which just was so sweet. I also want to recognize my Uncle Pat. My Uncle Pat is responsible, from what I understand, with actually introducing my mama and daddy. And my Uncle Pat was married to my wonderful and beautiful Aunt Grace. And there's just nothing better than that. I also want to thank a dear friend all the way back, my girlfriend, 1969, Kitty Sutton. That's not a last name now, but just to tell you what my mother meant. She came all the way out from Georgia specifically to honor my mother. In fact, it's amazing because for at least 20 years after I'd moved to Colorado, every so often my mother would go, why didn't you be a little bit nicer to Kitty? Why didn't you do that? It's also nice to see a splattering of so much purple in the audience. Obviously, most of us know that purple is my mother's favorite color. And it's wonderful to see so many people with purple on, because it just brings out, like I said, the memory and the love that we have. You know, I've talked about it for a long time, but you talk about being a blessed family. Our immediate Wetzel family is as blessed as it can be. I don't know how it is, but think about it. I had a daddy that's going strong at 88. My mother just passed on at 86. I have a sister that's 67. I'm 63, and I have two younger sisters that are quickly approaching 60. Hey. Sorry, you guys. I knew you wouldn't like that. Peace. The bottom line is that, think about it. Does anybody know, and there's, the percentage has to be so small, of a family whose parents are still up and running, who has children like that. We are truly blessed. The bottom line, though, is that the clock is ticking on everyone. Every second that we are right here, the clock is ticking closer to when we're not going to be around and we're going to be joined with our loved ones. And to me, it's just a really cold slap in the face and a reminder that, man, life is made up of very small moments and memories. And take advantage of it. Those that are close to you, love them. Love them with all your heart, because there's going to be a time when all you have left is memories. And that's what I've learned from this. My tears of sadness have absolutely, they've stopped flowing. I have no more tears of sadness. I guarantee you I will have a whole lot of tears of joy and remembrance when I think of my mom. She is the most wonderful, caring, loving person I've ever met in my whole life. She hasn't gone away from me. She's right here. She is right here. And she will live in my heart and my soul for my remaining days. I think the best part and the joy is that my mommy is alive and smiling. Her old body, her old worn out body, this worldly body just gave out on her. And my real sadness comes from thinking back as a young child. I remember the first time that it really shocked me where, oh my gosh, my poor mommy. She used to get really bad migraine headaches. And I remember her taking some type of pill that made her throw up violently. And I just I covered my ears so I couldn't hear, because I just felt the pain. I felt the pain of my mom. Head to toe, my mommy's body was a challenge to her. Oh my gosh, her feet, her ankles. She had a knee replacement. She had heart
pacemaker put in. She had sinus difficulties. She had eye surgery. She had heart. She had lung problems. She had a box full of pills and prescriptions that kept her going. And what I admire the most is that my mom never, never once complained or asked for sympathy. Not once. She was the strongest person that I have ever met in my whole life. I'd call up, "Mommy, how are you?" And she, "Oh, I'm doing just fine." And okay, that's good. I know she wasn't, but just those words made me feel somewhat better. She was so strong. My tears of joy also come for the continuation of life. The bottom line is that my mommy had a family. My mom's mother passed on when my mother was 14 or 15 years old. Imagine going through life being a teenager. There's no good time when your body fails and you can no longer physically touch your loved ones. My mommy lost her mom at age 14 or 15. She lost her dad roughly 50 years ago. She lost her brother 20 years ago, tragically. And she lost her dear sister that she loved and was so close to just a few years ago, Aunt Grace. The bottom line is that she's with them right now. And that's where my joy of tears comes from. She is united with them. She has no pain. She's smiling and life is good for her. And that is what I am focusing on, folks. Another thing, this is a great story because my oldest daughter, Sarah, gave birth 20 months ago to a little baby girl. We knew she was having a girl, but she's pretty close-lipped and she would not give us her daughter's name. Well, when little Stella was born, like 5 weeks early, which was scary, the name came out. I knew right away what it was, and when we called her mother, my mother nearly fainted. The reason being is that my daughter named her daughter Stella. Stella is the name of my mother's mother. And to this day, when I look at this beautiful, absolutely beautiful little baby girl, oh my gosh, my mother lives. Her mother lives in this beautiful, beautiful child. And life goes on and will never cease until God takes us all away. That's the bottom line. I'll never forget my mom. Everywhere that I go, everything that I see the color purple. I see her favorite. I see her favorite flowers. I hear a song. And in closing, my mother has already spoken to me. I was out 2 days ago at the J Street Marina, just walking, absorbing the beauty deep in my own thoughts. Most of you know what ice cream trucks are. They go through your neighborhood playing some twangy song that just is really annoying and get out of it. Oh my gosh. An ice cream truck comes speeding up. I'm walking down and as it got right by me, it stopped and started going slowly and music came on. And it wasn't some twangy, annoying song. It was a beautiful melody that I vividly remember when I was a child. I vividly remember my mother. My mother had a wonderful voice, by the way, too. She wasn't loud, but she had a wonderful, beautiful voice. But this song, thanks to the help of my buddy, looked it up. I couldn't quite recall it, but it was recorded in 1962 by Ray Charles. And that song was, "I can't stop loving you." And I went from head to toe in chills. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for sharing the love of my mother and the remembrance. Love you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. I was pastoring the Bible Baptist Church in Slayton, Texas back in the 50s. And God added a third child to our family, a beautiful little girl. And she's grown up into a beautiful woman. I think all of you know her from last year because everybody prayed for her when she came down with cancer, and we were afraid that she was going to be the first one to go. But God left Linda Sue with us. And I want Susie to come and say a word. She was so precious to us because when she was 9 months old, she took sick and we thought she was going to be the first one to go. We spent 1 week in the hospital by her bedside, and it was the prayers of God's people that brought her out. And you've been sustained by prayer all of your life.
I can't really talk, but
yes, you can.
I'm gonna miss sitting next to my mom every Sunday.
Yeah.
But this is a poem that I found that I just really liked, and it touched me. And it goes, "If roses grow in heaven, please pick a bunch for me. Place them in my mother's arms and tell her they're from me. Tell her I love and miss her, and when she turns to smile, place a kiss upon her cheek and hold her for a while. Because remembering her is easy. I do it every day. But there is an ache within my heart that will never go away."
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Thank you, Susie. Let's see. Sandy, Robert, Susie. Oh, Paula. We don't want to forget Paula. She's our baby. Come and see her.
This is really difficult. I hope to get through a little bit. Say a few words.
Take a deep breath.
I'm not good at the public speaking like obviously the Wetzel men are, but I'd like to say a few words to honor my mother.
You do it.
And I'm blessed, and I thank God for giving me to this wonderful mother. She had a great love for us.
Yes.
And we always knew it. She showed her love not so much in words, but always in her actions. She left us with so many good memories, and I'll have those to cherish the rest of my life. I love my mom. I too found a poem that I had heard before, and since my mom left, it has even greater meaning to me. And with Susie and the flower theme and the garden, mine is too. My mother kept a garden. My mother kept a garden of the heart. She planted all the good things that gave my life its start. She turned me to the sunshine and encouraged me to dream, fostering and nurturing the seeds of self-esteem. And when the winds and rains came, she protected me enough, but not too much. She knew I'd need to stand up strong and tough. Her constant good example always taught me right from wrong, markers for my pathway to last my whole life long. I am my mother's garden. I am her legacy. And I hope today she feels the love reflected back from me. Aww. I love you, Mother.
I want to say a few words. Well, no, I'm not through yet. I'm not through yet. I want some grandkids up here. I want some grandkids. Who wants to come up? Jared, where are you? There you are. All right. By the way, we have 11 grandchildren. So, this is one of the oldest ones.
First of all, thank you all for coming out today. On behalf of myself, my entire family, and all of us, I truly do thank you. This is a difficult time for all of us, but having you all here makes this a lot easier on us.
Amen.
My grandmother would say, stop fussing over me and go home, but we still think anyways. Growing up, I often wondered what it looked like from my grandfather's perspective up here as a kid. Sitting over here in the pews every Sunday, watching him preach, wondering if he could see my cousin Scott and I reading comic books, brother Jeremy and I fighting over the Game Boy, or my cousin Christine sneaking in 15 minutes late through the back door. But one thing I never knew that he had to wonder about was my beautiful grandmother sitting right there. Every Sunday, she was there with him. You know, she was a devoted wife, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and a friend to everyone. Growing up, my grandmother looked after me almost every day until I was about 12 years old, while my mother and father were at work, and I was doing the math last night, and then that's a third of my life that I was under my grandmother's care, and I feel blessed. I mean, I know I am a better person today because of her, how amazing she was. Truly the most amazing person ever walked this earth. I'm sorry. You know, hands down. But it wasn't just me that she cared for. She looked after my brother, my sister, and even the rest of the grandkids from far as well, too, and all the kids as well. And I think we are a better family because of having her in our lives. You know, I could sit up here for hours and recount stories about my grandmother. I mean, it's nonstop. One that really has always stood out to me, I've even thought about when she still was with us, was growing up, I had a little plastic swimming pool, you know, the little cheap kind you get from Kmart or whatnot, Target, and you put it in the backyard and fill it up with water and go swimming. But my grandmother loved me so much that apparently hose water was not good enough for me. So she got a 5-gallon bucket and she made, I don't know how many truckloads from the kitchen all the way through the living room, out the back porch, out the backyard, and filled up this swimming pool with warm water so I would not be cold. And I just remember, I mean, she was frail in her older age, but she was, as my Uncle Bob said, she was a strong woman, you know, and that really just stood out to me. That, I mean, that's, you know. But, you know, I think the toughest and the hardest reality for all of us is the fact that we can no longer see her. You know, and that's the most difficult thing we talked about at Grandpa, is the fact that she's not sitting right there anymore. But we all remember that she still is here with us. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that she's here with us right now. I mean, I'm as sure as I've been of anything my entire life, I know that she is still here with us to this day. In Colossians 2:5, the Lord says, "For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." And I believe that those words ring just as true for her as it does for the Lord too. And I think if we all remember that for myself personally, that just gives me a little peace and comfort. So, thank you.
That's Susie's boy, by the way. For you, those of you that don't know him. And he almost has a twin because he and Scott were with about a month of each other, I think, when they were born. And Scott is Sandy's daughter, Sandy and Mike. Scott, where are you? I'm looking out here. Come up here and say something good about your grandmother. And then we're going to take a little break after this one. I think we're going to let some more talk, but I like to hear them talk about their grandmother, don't you? It's good. I want another song here in a minute, and so I want to, Brother Earl and Rita. This is my second Rita, very precious, and I want them to sing a song for us while they're here. Scott, talk about your grandma.
I didn't prepare anything, but
you've got two of them. You still got both your grandmothers, don't you?
I do have another grandmother, and I feel very fortunate, and I think my daughter is very fortunate to have known three of her great grandparents, which is a huge blessing. And I've had to apologize and be very brutally honest with the other very special women in my life, and tell them that they came second to my Grandma Rita, and I don't think any of them took offense to that at all. She was strong, like everyone else has said, even when her body started going. You know, my Uncle Bob said it best. I mean, she always told you it was okay and she was doing good. And I mean, this past week's been rough just with just keeping focus, I guess, and not thinking about all the stories and things that, you know, involved her. Like Jared was saying, we were so close growing up, and she was the one who took care of us a lot. I remember, and I don't think I thought about this even since it happened, but we used to watch the show Chips together, and we always used to fight over who was Ponch and who was John. John was always the idiot messing things up, and since Jared was a month older than me, he always got the rights to be Ponch. And I remember being upset one time, and I remember standing in her kitchen, and she comforted me, and just, you know, it's just funny how these stories, you know, come back to your mind. I'm gonna miss her, but I mean, like the Bible says, this life is truly a vapor. I mean, even if we live to be 100, and it's a brief interruption in our time together, but I will miss a lot of things, holding her and her voice. And that was just the last thing that I'd like to do. I had a birthday last month, and I was driving, and you know, the law in California, you can't pick up your phone, and I wanted to pick it up because I knew it was her, and I decided not to, and she left me a voicemail, and I don't know if she's ever left me any other voicemails really, but she left me with this to hear her voice, and I just wanted to play it real quick. Let's see if it'll come on here.
Scott, this is your grandpa.
Oh, that's grandpa. Hold on. Here's the other one.
Hey, Scott, this is your grandma. I just want to wish you a happy birthday. I hope your day is going good. I hope your birthday is going to be extra special. Love you, honey. Bye-bye.
I just love that I can still hear your voice. But thank you all for coming.
I hadn't heard her voice yet. Sorry. One of the last things she said, I was with her, talking to her, and I said, honey, I want to go with you. She says to me, she says, I'll wait for you. She's one third with us today. Think about it. We are body, soul, and spirit. The Lord's got the soul and the spirit, but we've still got our body. We've still got our body. I want to hear a song, Brother Earl.
It's a real privilege to be here with you, Dr. Wetzel. Many times to sing gospel songs, and we didn't come to sing today, we came to just be with Dr. Wetzel. Of course, he come in the door and he says, "You got a song ready?" That's okay. You know, for gospel singers, sometimes when they part from one another, they say, "We'll see you at the house." Rita's at the house. Just beyond the divide. Out of sight, but still there. She went home. We're going to sing that song.
Many times in my childhood, when we'd traveled so far, by nightfall, how weary I'd grow. Father's arms would slip round me.
Yes, amen.
And gently he'd say, "My child, we are going home.
Twilight is fading, on the day soon shall end. Lord, I get homesick the farther I roam. But my Father, he has led me each step of the way, and now I am going home.
I'm going home. There is nothing to hold me here.
Well,
I've caught a glimpse of that heavenly land. Praise God, I am going home.
This is one of those services that we never want to see come to an end. I so deeply appreciate your presence today. But we haven't told you too much about this beautiful lady that here in this casket in front of us today. I want to tell you something about it. But first, I would like to read from Proverbs chapter 31. A scripture here that never before have I seen so fitting for such a lady. Beginning in verse 10 of this chapter, let me share this with you. The Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Rita Marie Lucas was born on Saturday, February the 25th, 1928, to Walter and Stella Lucas. Her older brother was Wallace, who was almost four at the time, and her sister Grace had just turned 2 years old. The family lived in Mount Carmel, Pennsylvania, where her father worked in the coal mines. She was a coal miner's daughter. Rita's mother became a victim of cancer when she was about 35 years of age. She died of a stroke 16 days before Rita's 16th birthday. Rita had dropped out of school to care for her mother in the last days of her life. Grace was a senior in high school at the time, and she would very well have done that, but they wanted her to graduate from high school. You can see how it is. So Rita took the responsibility of care for her mother in her last days. After her mother's passing on the 9th, 1944, at the age of 40. Her father took the two girls and moved with them to Philadelphia. They lived on Ellsworth Street. That's where they lived when I met her. Her brother Wallace was in the Army, this being back during the middle of World War II. In her religious upbringing, Rita attended a Catholic parochial school. She took her first Holy Communion at age 8, went to confirmation, all the things a Catholic youngster is taught to do. She was introduced to Bible stories by the nuns who taught a Bible class in her church. She had no Bible of her own, only a prayer book when she was growing up. But she attended church every Sunday with her mother. Right after Rita turned 18, on April the 2nd, 1946, she met a young sailor whose ship had just docked in the Philadelphia Navy Yard. And a little over 2 months later, she and I were married by a Baptist minister by the name of C.M. Cope in Elkton, Maryland. She packed her suitcase that afternoon. We caught a crowded troop train and rode it for 3 days and three nights, all the way from Philadelphia down to Texas. What a beautiful honeymoon. In early 1949, Rita and I began attending services at Calvary Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, Texas. Under the ministry of our pastor, Dr. Earl Oldham, Rita heard the gospel message preached. She knew about Jesus, but had never established a personal relationship through him. On Sunday, July the 31st, 1949, she heard the gospel message preached, and she walked down the aisle during the invitation and made her public profession of faith, accepting Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. She followed the Lord in believers' baptism the next Sunday. That was August the 7th of 1949. On Monday night, June the 19th, it's getting close to that, isn't it? 1950, her husband surrendered his life to the Lord when God called him to preach. Rita was agreeable to and acceptable with that calling when I walked into the bedroom that late that night and told her that God had called me to preach. I preached my first sermon at that Calvary Baptist Church on the Wednesday evening of July the 5th, 1950. On Thursday, April the 17th, 1947, Rita became a mother with her first child when Sandran was born. Then on Thursday, March the 29th, 1951, Another son, Robert Warren, was added to our family. Linda Sue was born at Slayton, followed by Paula Kay, our fourth and last child, who was born at Odessa. Susie was born on Saturday, March the 11th of 1955, and Paula was born on Thursday, October the 9th, 1958. Meanwhile, I was in seminary. She was taking care of the home, raising our two children, while I attended Bible Baptist Seminary in Fort Worth, from which I graduated in early 1953. During that time, I was also pastor of the Azle Baptist Temple just outside Fort Worth. That was our first pastorate together. Then we moved to Portales, New Mexico, and we began a church there, the Portales Baptist Temple. Then after that, we were called to pastor the Bible Baptist Church of Slayton, Texas. That's where Susie was born. And after a few years there, we moved down to Fort Stockton, Texas, and we organized and pastored the Calvary Baptist Church at Fort Stockton. Our church burned down, and I moved up to Odessa, and eventually our family moved up there. That's where Paula was born. And even while Rita was keeping house and raising four children, she still found time to work in the church, usually teaching Sunday school class, singing in the choir, performing other duties to assist her husband, who not only pastored a church, but had an outside job as well. Now comes California. In June of 1959, we received an invitation to move to California and pastor the Valley Bible Baptist Church on East Washington Street in El Cajon. So we moved, after pastoring there, we moved over here to Chula Vista in June of 1960, and I was pastoring the Castle Park Baptist Church down here on 3rd Avenue. In August of 1979, we were able to merge the congregation from Castle Park Baptist and Bible Baptist here in on Nolan Avenue. So we continued to work and to serve the Lord here. This girl served 64 years alongside her preacher husband. 64 years she was in the ministry as much as I was. She was always supportive of her pastor and her husband in the ministry, serving in whatever needed to be done. Even though she was plagued, as Robert said, with various physical problems resulting in several operations. But on Monday, June the 2nd, 2014, I took her out to the emergency at Kaiser Hospital. We went out there to see the doctor, get some medicine, get the prescription filled, bring it home, give her the medicine, and she would get well. I did not take her out there to die. But God had other plans. She had pneumonia that severely, severely damaged her lungs beyond repair. It was affecting her heart. She died with an oxygen mask on her face. Doctors did all they could. By Thursday morning, June the 5th, she was in extremely critical condition, unable to communicate. And at 2:35 that afternoon, she responded to God's call and left us. Rita was 86 years, 3 months, 11 days old. She's left her family, which consisted of her husband, 4 children, 11 grandchildren, and 10 great-grandchildren, 2 of which she never had the privilege of seeing and holding. She also left a myriad of friends, relatives, and loved ones. But she joined a multitude who have preceded her. Through these 64 years of ministry, there have been many who have gone on to heaven before her that she'll be meeting. I look at Alice, and I remember the time when Art died. She was just across the hall from where he was when I walked into the hospital that day and saw him propped up in that hospital bed over there, and I walked in, "Hi, Art." But Art didn't hear me. He was already gone. And others, very personal. There are ties between us. Blessed be the ties that bind. Her body will be buried out here at Miramar in the military cemetery. She'll be out there at the same place where Grace, her sister, is buried. Her dad is buried out at Fort Rosecrans. But we know that her soul is with the Lord in heaven, and she'll be surrounded by all of the friends and loved ones. But most of all, she'll be in the presence of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. That's what heaven is all about. He's the main attraction there. Soon will come the close of time, the dissolution of worlds, the final judgment, and after that, the unfolding of eternity. As our eyes shall then behold the countless constellations of the redeemed, we'll view the different degrees of glory in which they shine, an index of their deeds below, not faintest among many that glow with surpassing splendor, we doubtless shall behold a spirit who, when here below, was known by the name Rita Wetzel, my dear sweet wife. I could preach, but our time's running out. Oh, so many things I could tell you about her. But before we conclude this service, I know it's been long. Again, we appreciate your being here. I would like to have just a brief word from her granddaughters. Do you all have anything to say?
Yes,
Would you like to do that? We've heard from some of the grandsons, and I want Jeremy to also to come up in a minute. And say, just say so, not over 20 minutes. Come up, sweetheart. You brought the wrong paper up.
That's okay. Okay.
Go get it. That'll help you. That's right. This is Hannah.
Can't choose a favorite memory of my grandma, because there's no one that will stand out with me when I miss her. I'll remember, like people have said, her sweet singing voice, especially when it would sing us to sleep with "You Are My Sunshine." I remember watching Shirley Temple movies together, although I think she'd rest her eyes through most of them. Her endless supply of Flintstone push pops and Kool-Aid squeeze-its in the summer, she always made sure the snack cabinet was stocked when we came over. Every time I called, it took a few tries to figure out if it was Jana or Hannah calling. Had to go through that one a lot. And most of all, the way she put everyone else first. I'll always miss my beautiful grandma. I can only hope to be half of the woman that she was. Her profound love and selflessness helped to shape our family. We're lucky, as everyone has said, to have her memory in our hearts on earth, but we're blessed with the assurance that we'll see her again in heaven.
That's all. Thank you, darling. Holly, did you want to say anything? Come on. You know, I had planned to have many of you, and I know that if we started down and just went down the row, all of you would have something to say. And I would be so happy to hear it. But we're not going to be able to stay here that long. They've got to take her out. We've got cars waiting to lay her body at rest.
Come on. I don't know what else there is to say. I mean, everybody said what a beautiful, selfless, wonderful woman she was. And my favorite memory of my grandma, and what I'm sure everybody knows, is I'm going to remember her every time I look in the mirror and see my red hair, because she's been convinced for almost 28 years that it was going to change.
But it never did.
But it never did, so I will remember her as long as there is a red hair on my head.
I don't know, there was red hair in my family. Several of us had red hair, and when Holly was born and her hair was red, Rita would say, it'll change. I think she was partial to blondes or something. Yeah, our kids were all blonde at that time, weren't they, Susie? Yeah. All right. Jimmy, come up here. I think she liked you.
I didn't really have anything prepared. I was probably, out of all the grandchildren, the closest to my grandmother because I stayed so close to home. And I tried to help her, and she always helped me out. She was always there for me when I needed her, just every day. Just, I have so many memories of her that I just can't name one. Just recently, I remember just watching Family Feud and, of course, her Judge Judy show with her. She loved that. But I know that she'll live on in my mind, in my memories, in my heart. And she left me with my grandpa, so I got to take care of him.
Amen.
But she was the most caring person that I ever knew.